Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Not because of my age and not because it's my birthday, but I have been because of my study of King David. I want to talk to you about legacy. On Wednesday nights, for the last three Wednesday nights, we've been talking about legacy. What are you going to leave behind? What do you want to leave your children? What do you want to leave the world? A better place? What do you want to contribute? Because whatever it is that you're going to leave, you should already be working on that right now because you're already participating in it, right? So I got this thing in my head a few weeks ago because after David was dead and a long time had passed, there was a king that rose. His name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah redid the temple, redid the whole temple. And when they started renewing the sacrifices, if you know anything about the Old Testament history and Moses, they made animal sacrifices to God. And when they renewed those sacrifices in Hezekiah's time and renewed them in the temple, Hezekiah also found the instruments that David had created. David brought into the religious scene trumpets and cymbals and flutes, and they sang and praised the Lord. Before David, church was about going and watching an animal be killed and blood sacrificed and burned, and it was about death. Church was about death. But David came and brought celebration. Thank God for David. It validates what we're doing now because Jesus Christ is that sacrifice of the Old Testament, but he was also resurrected. So there's not just the sense of death and a loss. He died for our sins, and we sense the seriousness of that. But he also was resurrected, and so we celebrate at the very same time we talk about Jesus and we talk about his blood. We now celebrate salvation through Jesus Christ and healing through Jesus Christ. And that transcends all denominations and all churches and all religions. God is bigger than all of them. What Jesus did, he did for everybody. God loves everybody. He doesn't love people a certain color. He doesn't love people that are Christians more than he loves people that are not Christians. You've got to get that in your head. He loves everybody. He has compassion on all that he has made. I know that bugs some of you, but it's the truth. He's not white. He's not Caucasian. He's not Pentecostal. He's not American. He loves everybody. And he loves everybody the same, and he breathes on them and cares for them and looks over little kids in nations that have never heard his name. We think, well, we got to go tell him his name. He's there. He's doing what God does. And if you can graduate to this thought with me, then you won't ever worry about your own kids or your grandkids because you'll know, well, he's taking care of all of us. He got through to you, didn't he? If he can get through to you, he can get through to anybody. So I just want to tell you, that this idea of legacy, I want to leave behind freedom and the love of God and care for people and tolerance and I want to leave behind faith. I believe in God. I don't worry anymore. Let me see the hands of the worriers or half worriers or three-quarter worriers or people that worried some before but don't worry so much now. Thoughts and anxiety and worry, and I want to talk to you about that today. I want to talk to you about having faith in God. I want to look at Mark chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11. And were you aware a little while ago when we talked about the 23rd Psalm, I wasn't taking away from praying for people and laying hands on people and ministering to people personally, but I was adding to the thought that a word from the Lord is by times exactly what God intends to impart rather than laying hands on people, right? Let me just tell you something. I'm married, and there are times when if I think Terry has a bad attitude, it'd be better that I not lay hands on her. She just probably doesn't want me to lay my gentle hand on her forehead and pray. Now, God, I'm asking you to cast this evil, bad attitude out of my wife. And let me just tell you something. When I got a bad attitude, I don't want her coming and laying hands on me and praying, oh, God, fix this man's head. I don't want anything to do with that. Somebody help me. And sometimes you come to church and you got bad thoughts in your mind. You're confused about God. You don't understand His grace. You don't know His love. You're lost in the madness. You're really messed up in your head. And it's at that time that God needs to put a word in your head that chases the other words out. He replaces that thought with a different thought. Do you understand me? So I'm saying to you today that there is an act of God. There is an impartation that isn't physical. That doesn't come with someone laying hands on you or praying for you. You may think, I need somebody to pray for me. I need to counsel with the pastor. No, what you need is to listen to the voice of the Lord and let His word change your spirit, change your attitude, change your mind, change your thoughts. Does that make sense? So for me just to simply say, have faith in God, well, that could bounce off you like Nate said a little while ago. The heavens can be like brass. You just bounce off your head and say, I can't have faith in God. But if we talk about Jesus, if we talk about God, and you see how great He is, you do have faith in God. I don't have to preach, repent. You will change your mind. When Jesus shows up, people change their mind, right? And I feel like He has come, it seems to me, if I'm a microcosm of the church, and if you are, the church at large, the greater church, it seems like He comes and challenges my thoughts. He's breaking down religion. He's breaking down the walls of the temple. He's tearing the curtain. He's proving Himself to be God. He's bigger than my thoughts. He's bigger than they told me. He shows me that it's greater than that. And I have experiences. And I told you, some of you, I went fishing with I spent a week with a Hindu. And I realized that he knew more about God than I did. He believes in God. Truly believes in Jesus. He said, I love Jesus Christ, but you Christians drive me crazy. He said, because you do all the stuff he did, all he said, but you don't do what he did. You've made a new law. And I'm thinking, I said that to our church. Jesus is not the new Moses to come with new rules. Jesus came to set you free from all of that madness so that you could receive from God without some preconceived notions of what you're supposed to do or how good you're supposed to be. God lifted all of that off of you. So he's going to talk to us this morning, and I'm going to tell you that if you will open your spirit, open your mind and your heart today, the Lord might heal you from your doubt. This is Mark chapter 11, verse 12. I would like to begin in verse number 12. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree. Everybody say, he said to the tree. I don't want to get stuck there. But I want you to know he spoke to a tree. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20, please. Verse 20. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Verse 22. Can you read it aloud with me, please? Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Say it one more time. Have faith in God. Maybe you would like to preach that to somebody. Turn to somebody close to you and point your finger at them and say, have faith in God. Turn the other way. Have faith. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I'm telling you that the mountain he's speaking of is whatever is in your way, whatever hinders your progress, whatever you think is impossible. He said to the tree, you're done. They looked and said, look at this tree. It responded to your words. He said, have faith in God. I don't know how he can make this connection because this is so physical and it's so real and it's so visible that sometimes I think my faith is all spiritual. But there are times when God speaks to your spirit and says, say it. Speak it out. Say to that mountain, how tall is Mount Everest? 29,029 feet. What's the deepest part of the ocean? It's 36,200 feet deep. Which means if you turn Mount Everest upside down and throw it in the ocean, there's still a mile of water above it. When Jesus said, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, this is not a partial covering. This is a complete eradication. This is destruction of your issues. This is, you're going to get over this. He said, have faith in God. I come from a generation where there was a discovery made in the late 1960s and 70s when I was first starting in the ministry. We call it the charismatic movement, and people took some of these words, some of these verses, and hyper-spiritualized them. You don't say words that come into your head. You don't just speak words to the impossible, but you speak the word of God to the impossible. It's not just the thought that you have. You can stand and confess all day long you want to, if you want. And people did this. They took it wrong. And they would stand and confess God's going to give them a Cadillac. God's going to give them a new home. There are people that have received new homes. There are people that have received cars. Right? But it isn't the whim. It isn't the froth off of the imagination. It's not something you thought of in your head. Jesus is making a connection between you and God and saying, you can speak the words of God, and the word of God coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God coming out of Jesus' mouth. Is that scary? You believe that? Do you believe that Jesus spoke the word of God? And that if the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you and you have a word from God, that word from God is as powerful coming out of your mouth as it is from anybody's mouth. God wants to encourage you today to have faith in God, because there will come times in your life when you are inspired to speak to a thing. And so 50 weeks ago, I had a bandage on my back, and they were going to do skin grafts from my legs to put on this wound in my back for this surgery. And I didn't want to have skin graft. I didn't want to go through the pain of that. They were going to take two strips of skin from my thighs. As a matter of fact, Bob Erickson called me from, I think you were at the doctor's office, or doctors, or somebody was right next to you. He had asked them some questions about it, was actually inquiring about me, and I didn't know. And he called, I think from the hospital or doctor's office or something, Bob. So on a Tuesday, I'm getting out of my car in the driveway of the house, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, say to your skin, live. They're going to replace the skin. My skin was necrotic. I died. And they were going to replace a large patch about 9 inches by 3.5 inches wide on my back that they'd taken off. And so when I got out of the car, I said, live. Kind of sheepish, kind of weird, like talking to a tree. And when I said it the first time, I realized I probably ought to believe. If God said it, I should believe it. So I said, live. Then it got on me. The thought, the realization. The thought went through my head. God said to Ezekiel, speak to these bones in this valley and say, live. And the bones all came together and started living. And when that got on me, I said, live! Yeah! And when I turned my head over my shoulder to say that, Terry came driving down the road and pulled in the driveway, and I'm standing in the driveway at the house crying, trembling, yelling out loud. And I said, you got to come in the bedroom with me. I took my shirt off. This bandage is on me, a bandage a little bit bigger maybe than that Bible. And I said, Terry, I think the Holy Ghost just said to tell my skin to live. They're supposed to do the skin graft tomorrow morning. I think he said live. She said, what? I said, I think God said, say live. Would you say live? She said live. She said live. I said, would you write it on there? So I've got pictures of on the bandage where she wrote the word live. And I'll tell you, the next morning, Wednesday morning, when I went in to get prepared for a skin graft, where the doctor took the bandage off, he's a Jew. He does not believe in Jesus like you and I do. He believes he was a figure, but he does not believe in him in faith. When he took the bandage off, the first words out of his mouth was, it's alive. I said, what? He said, it's alive. My skin had recovered overnight. I didn't have a skin graft. I have the scars to show it now, where God put new skin on my back. He said, say, live. I freaked out. Look at me. I'm telling you, I didn't get it. It took me 3 times. I'm supposed to be a man of faith. I'm a giant of your ministry here. No, I struggled with the thought to say, live. All I'm telling you is, when he speaks, if you let it come out of your mouth, the words that you speak are the same power, strength of God. I said if, did I not? If God speaks to you, hear me now. He will speak to you. You got to go with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Bob, you asked them that. Yes. Tell them, would you? And months of recovery. The word live. One four-letter word, live. Well, now, here's the difference, you guys. I'm not on TV. This isn't Faith on the Run. I'm not going to receive an offering that you can pay by a credit card if you'd like. I'm telling you, look at me. That happened to me. I struggle with faith. I struggle with when to say a thing. Sometimes I wonder, is that God? Sometimes I wonder, am I supposed to say this now? Sometimes I wonder how the person that's going to hear it is going to think. I wonder about all that. I struggle with it. Sometimes I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I don't say it. Then I think, well, what happened? What if I had? Sometimes I say stuff that's in my head that doesn't come from God because my compassion feels so much like his compassion that I say stuff I wish would happen. I'm hoping will happen. Somebody's got to help me. Don't make me stand up here naked like this and not get an amen from you. I don't know. Sometimes I say it, and I thought it was God, and it doesn't happen, and I don't. And sometimes I'm off my timing. I do it. I say it. I expect him to do it right now. He doesn't do it right now. I find out 6 months later he did what he said he was going to do, and then I go crazy 6 months later, and nobody knows what's in my head. I'm just a nutcase because I found out it happened. Sometimes I don't know the timing, but praise God, I do know this. When he speaks to me and I respond, even if I don't see it right then, I know, God, I got goosebumps running up and down me. I know that if he said it, he's going to do it. It'll come to pass, and I'm gonna wait until I see what he said. So I could spend 3 days talking about everything I just did, trying to give you lessons about patience and faith and listening and waiting and not judging and quit talking and wait till he speaks, all that. Get the tape, listen to every sentence, and go over it again in your head. Because I don't have time to straighten the whole thing out, but Jane, you got something to say. Look, she won't sit down until I come down here. Just a minute.
What about when the Lord speaks to you and you can't say a word? And he spoke to you.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there in the hospital and I'm saying, I was coming to, and I said,
after surgery,
and I said, I'm just so weary, Lord, I want to go on. And I couldn't say it, but it was in my mind. It went through my mind. And Brother Friend stepped up to the bed. He didn't know, he couldn't hear what the Lord spoke to me, but he said, oh no. By faith, you're coming out, and he prayed for me, and the Lord touched my body. I felt him inside, and I said, I believe I can do it with my mind. I couldn't speak the words,
yeah.
But Jesus spoke to me and healed my body.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God. Okay, get ready now. I need you to go to 2 Samuel 23. Woo, Jesus. Second Samuel 23. These are the words of David. This is the first portion of 2 Samuel 23, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High. Everybody say exalted. Do you know what the word exalted means? Lifted up. Let me ask you something. Did anybody in this room today feel in the praise time, did you get lifted up a little bit? Has the Spirit of already, even while I'm preaching, do you feel, oh man, whew. So you can relate to David. He says, exalted, lifted up, the man anointed, anointed by God. He was the singer of Israel's songs. I got to stop. I'm going to do this slowly, almost like a Bible study. Anointed. Listen carefully. The word anointed is overused. It's just overused. People don't know exactly what the word anointed means. Some people mean they're excited. Some preachers, when they get mad and start screaming, they call that anointed. The word anointed means chosen. Chosen, specifically chosen. Samuel poured oil on David's head. He's the chosen one. He's the anointed one. How many of you know that Jesus was anointed? He was chosen. Anointed. Chosen. I got to do a little Bible study right here with you, okay? You ready? 1 Peter, please, chapter 1. This is about you. David confessed, I'm anointed. I was chosen by God. Would you look at 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. Hey, it's, is it noon? It's my birthday. It's not like this will be the only time I'm late. Okay, 1 Peter 1, 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. If you underline anything in your Bible, would you underline that your pastor is warring against the empty way? I'm not preaching that you must hear from God and you must speak the word and that you have to have faith. I'm telling you that's the full life. I'm just saying there's an empty religion. There's empty living. And that you've been redeemed from that. Where it's exciting. Not just exciting for me. Not just exciting for the preacher to get up and preach. I'm talking about where God deals with you in the daytime, in the morning, and you're fully alive thinking God is in my life. I can't be defeated. Things are going to work out. I'm blessed. Don't be afraid. Nate, I can't tell you. We need to sing happy and we need to sing these joyful songs. Don't be afraid of being happy. Don't let religion keep you blocked into that empty way of living. But the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, he was chosen. Somebody say chosen. That means anointing. He was anointed before the creation. He was chosen. But was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. What did Jesus say when they saw the tree that was withered? Have faith in God. Somebody say, have faith in God. So he says, that's how you have faith in God. Please look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are an anointed people. You are a chosen people. Underline chosen. I'm chosen. You've been chosen. A royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. A people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Watch this. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. David declared, I'm in the middle of this. David said, I was chosen. I've been anointed by God. Jesus took the book, opened it to the book of Isaiah, unrolled the scroll, and he read, "For the Lord God has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the sick," hallelujah, "to open the prison doors, to set people free. I'm chosen to do that." And he rolled the book back up and sat down and said, "Today, this is happening right in this building." I'm telling you that David said, "I'm chosen, I'm anointed." Jesus said, "I'm chosen, I'm anointed." And then said, "You are chosen. You're anointed. Don't wait for it to be skin cancer. Don't wait for it to be some big mountain in your way. Hear what I'm about to tell you. Listen to this revelation. Jesus cursed a tree and said, you guys can do a mountain. Just compare the two. I wish he'd have done a mountain and said, now you can take a tree. I wish he'd have done the big one and proved his point. I wish he would have cast a mountain into the sea and the guys would have gone, whoa. And then said, if you want to, you can curse a tree. But that's not what happened. Are you getting this at all? Are you thinking? He said to that fig tree, nobody's ever going to eat from you again. And the next day when they get by, that thing had withered up. It was super fast dying. Right? Because you can cut a limb off of the tree and lay it in the backyard and 3 days later still look like it's alive. But then he said, you can speak to this mountain. Have faith. Not in your words, which was the screwball stuff that came out of the charismatic movement early. People had faith in their faith, and they had faith in their words. No, you have faith in God. Because you can speak to your blue in the face, and you'll never get a pink Cadillac. Somebody help me, because you tried, and so did I. So did I. There have been bad days on the boat when I'd go, I have dominion over all of you. Now you're going to eat right now. Fish, bite this lure. Let's try it again. I have to be. So it's not your words. It's not faith in your words. It's faith in God. But there's something about saying it. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 23. Oh my God, I'm going to get hungry. I'm preaching so long, I'm going to preach myself right into hunger. 2 Samuel 23. I'll try to finish with this. How about we may have to do some more of this next week? 2 Samuel 23. What I'm talking to you today about is a legacy of faith. I preach about grace. I preach about love. Today I'm preaching about faith. I want to give you a legacy. I want to leave you a legacy of faith where you, honest to God, lay down in bed at night and faith overwhelms any thought of nervousness, sickness, worry, job, business, America, the church, your kids, your grandkids, your cancer, the pain you got in your leg, now you think it could be arthritis. Yeah, all that. Now he said, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 2. Did we read this? This is 2 Samuel 23, 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Can I tell you what the world needs is a word from the Lord? Some direction, some thought, a word from God. He said, the Lord spoke through me. I tell you, the Lord will speak through you. There are situations right now that are brewing. Stuff is happening. Situations are maturing so that God can speak through you and deal with something, and God will be glorified and somebody will be delivered. Okay, we're going to do it all. I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. I'm going to go to like 3/4 of the way down my message, read a verse, quit, and then come back next week. Okay, here we go. My wife is very happy to hear that. Matthew chapter 8. I love those amens, Terry. For any reason, any amen I can get. Okay, I'm ready to quit. Amen. I'm about finished. Thank you, Jesus. Any help I can get from the front row. Okay, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. This is too much for one Sunday. I was gone 3 weeks. For Pete's sake, I brought the whole bag of McDonald's fries. We want to eat all of them. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Somebody say, the Lord spoke through me. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. That's the word that I'm talking about, not just a hope you have or a desire you have or the compassion that you have, but when the Lord speaks. I felt like the Lord spoke to me today and said, tell them Psalm 23:1 and let the word fix their heads. But there are people that are ill, lay hands on them and they will be healed. This is Matthew 8:5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, which is a Roman, like a general, he has an entire group of men under him, a garrison of men. A centurion means at least 100. The centurion, this is Roman soldier, a centurion, came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Faith in God. That if you speak the word, if you just say the word, and Jesus said, he's healed. The centurion gets home and finds out that when Jesus said it is when he was healed. God. Somebody go read for a month and study quantum mechanics. Because that theory is that a particle here is somehow connected to a particle over there, and there is no physical connection, but if you get this one to spin, that one starts spinning. They've proven it. Quantum mechanics. What they're finding out is, I can say something right here, and somebody in the hospital in California can be healed. That you can be kneeling beside your bed in the morning and you can pray to God and believe that what you're saying will come to pass and what you're saying will affect the situation at the job or at your neighbors or at your family. They're figuring out there's something connecting all this, and they call it, in some scientific realms, they call it dark matter. Sometimes they talk about us all being connected somehow, and I'm going, yeah, that's called God. And I just am telling you today that the Spirit of the Lord is going to deal with you in the most unique situations. He's going to encourage you to say something. He's going to encourage you to respond. And when you do, God Almighty is going to heal and deliver and save and answer and give direction, because the word of the Lord was in your mouth. Have faith in God. Let's stand, shall we? You're dismissed, honey. Thank you. I'm so filled with joy today to be with you. I love it. I just love you. Would you, I want you to lift your hands because I want to seal this word up in your heart. Lord, what you're doing here is miraculous, and we are human, and we are often weak, and we need you now to water this seed, water this faith, as we are now repenting, as we're changing our minds and moving forward. I pray that your face would shine on your people. I pray, Lord God, that your word would come with clarity and that we would have ears to hear what you're saying. I pray for a new sense of hunger, a new appetite to come over these people, that they would no longer live that empty way of life, but a life filled with joy that's practical, that's real, where you do real things, healing and providing miraculously in our lives. I pray that blessing on your people, that we leave this house anticipating, in expectation of a visitation from your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you, Lord, to set us on fire with this grace so that everybody that we know, people that we come in contact with, are ministered to by the Holy Spirit. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Bless your people and go with them now. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.